church this morning. Lovely frosty morning. Unfortunately, our heating system is broken to coincide with the first frost of the winter. So we have some fleeces at the back. If anybody is cold, you can either get a fleece or ask one of the stewards to get a fleece for you. And we're hoping that with the ovens being on for the lunch, that it might warm up a bit. Just an announcement that David is very kindly going to show people how to use the sound desk after the service. So if anybody is interested to know how to do that, if they just stay behind and he will teach us all his wizardry. I also have to announce that unfortunately Hilda Sigley died on Thursday. I don't know any more details about that at the moment. Thank you. And John will now lead us in our worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, what's happened in the last 5 years?
How long have you got?
About 2.5 hours, so I was told. So that's good. It is lovely to be back. It feels like I'm wandered into somewhere that feels like home. Mandy had to drag me off the computer desk, setting everything up. So thank you for turning out. It's lovely to be here. Should we do something different? For the folks who've joined us from Green Close, that tea towel is still pinned up in my living room. Let's do something different. So let's see what the singing is like after 5 years. I'm going to invite you as you are able to stand and to join in as we raise our voices to sing, Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Obviously, the heating has started to work. John Lunt has taken his coat off. That's going to be the barometer of whether things are working or not. Let's continue to worship God as we join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, on this beautiful, crisp, cold autumn day, we thank you that we can just gather together here in this place. Each one of us has come together not to try to earn or to win your love, but we have come in response to the love that you have given to us, in response to the love that you are giving to us, and in response to the love we know you will give to us. We come as brothers and sisters, old and young, adults and children, simply to offer you our worship, to be part of this living family of faith here in this place. In the hymns that we sing, in the readings that we hear, in the message that we receive, in the prayers that we offer, we simply ask that we are open, open to your Spirit, alive and active here, working on us, working in us, and working through us, changing us from who we are into who we can be. And Lord, we come together here today to celebrate all that you are. We also come to acknowledge sometimes we don't get things right. And so we come to say that we are sorry. Sorry for the times when our actions haven't been right. Sorry for the times when our words have been too harsh. Sorry for just not being the people you want us to be. Thankfully for us, we have an assurance that whenever we come before you, whenever we repent, whenever we say sorry, you will speak words of love and truth. You will tell each one of us that we are forgiven. Today, let us hear those words. Let us acknowledge what those words mean. And let us begin again as new creations in and through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught his closest followers when they asked, "Lord, how shall we pray?" He taught them to say these words: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Let's hear our first reading for today from Paul's letter to the Romans. John.
So the reading is from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, John. It's difficult trying to remember what I told you 5 years ago, but I'm not sure whether I told you that when I was young, maybe 6, 7, I used to be a great fan of Doctor Who. Do we have any Doctor Who fans here today? Yes, I see some hands. Now, I'm talking proper Doctor Who. I'm talking John Pertwee Doctor Who. I'm talking Tom Baker Doctor Who. I'm not talking David Tennant, Matt Baker Doctor Who. And I would gather every Saturday night to watch Doctor Who. And I would start off watching Doctor Who sat next to my mum and dad. Slowly but surely, I would then end up watching Doctor Who through my hands and my fingers, and then behind a cushion, until finally I wasn't watching Doctor Who at all. I was behind the sofa because I was scared. I was scared of the things that I would see on that programme. I was scared of the Cybermen. I was scared of the Daleks. Except back in the 70s, you didn't need to be that scared of the Daleks. All you needed to do was go up some stairs, because the Daleks in the 70s couldn't go up and down stairs. In the 2000s, they could. That is a very different kettle of fish. And although I knew it wasn't real, I would think to myself, what if I met a Dalek on the way to school? Or what if I ran into a Cyberman on the way to the corner shops? And that made me think, what things are we scared of today? There are no right and wrong answers to this. Will, give me something you're scared of.
Sharks.
Sharks. Do we get lots of those in Poynton? Maybe not. Sharks. Shout out some things
spiders.
That you're...
Spiders.
What else? What about our young people? What are you scared of?
Snakes
over here. Anything else that you're scared of? Loud noises. What about some of our adults? What are you scared of? What are some of the irrational things? Hands up if you're scared of the dark. Hands up if you're scared of your partner driving the car. What about some of the big things in the world? What are some of the big things that scare us? Climate change. Reduce your carbon footprint. What else are we scared of? War. War and hunger and starvation. All these really big things. Now, sometimes the Bible can be accused of being old-fashioned, and people can say, yeah, but Paul was writing to people 2,000 years ago. A very different time, a very different place, a very different culture. And those things that Paul is talking about, writing to the early church in Rome, they're not relevant to us today. Do we have hardship? Do we have distress? Do we have persecution? Do we have famine? Do we have nakedness? Do we have peril? Do we have sword? Yes, of course we do. All of those things are happening today. But the important bit about what John read for us was those last words, that there is nothing. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, shown in and through Jesus. It doesn't mean we're not going to get into difficult situations. It doesn't mean that things might be a little bit scary, a little bit frightening. It doesn't mean that life isn't going to get rough. But in the midst of all of that, there is nothing. Nothing that can separate us from the love of God. How do I know that? I know it because God is bigger. God is bigger than all of those things. In fact, for our young people over there, God is bigger than a beef burger. God is bigger than a mouse. God is bigger than an elephant. And God is bigger than a house. Now, children, look at the adults. They don't believe any of those things that I've just said. They don't believe that God is bigger than a burger, bigger than a mouse, bigger than an elephant, and bigger than a house. Should we sing a song that shows them that that is true? What do we think? Yes. And you know the best thing about singing some songs? They've got actions to do. Actions to go with songs. Now, even 5 years ago, people here didn't like doing action songs. I bet that hasn't changed one little bit. I can't remember whether we have done this song here before or not. So I'm going to play it to get you used to what it is and what the actions are. And then I'm going to stop it and start again. This is God's love is bigger than a burger.
God's love is bigger than a burger and is bigger than a mouse. Bigger than an elephant and bigger than a house. Bigger than a bus and bigger than a tree. Bigger than a mountain, bigger than a sea. What about the cloud? What about the sky?
That's my favourite bit.
What about the moon? What about the sun? What about the stars? Is anything bigger than God's big love? Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, wonderful love. Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful love.
Oh, I can sense the excitement. People are thinking, where have you been, lad, for the past 5 years? And for those of you that are going to remain seated, you can still have a go at doing some of the actions. Are we ready, young people at the back? Yes. God's love is bigger than a burger. God's love is bigger than a burger and it's bigger than a mouse. Bigger than an elephant and bigger than a house. Bigger than a bus and bigger than a tree. Bigger than a mountain, bigger than the sea. What about the sun? What about the sky? What about the moon? What about the sun? What about the sun? What about the stars? Is anything bigger than God's big love?
Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, wonderful love. Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, one love, love. God's love is bigger than a burger and it's bigger than a mouse. Bigger than an elephant, bigger than a house. Bigger than a bus and bigger than a tree. Bigger than a mountain, bigger than a sea. What about a cloud? What about the sky? What about the moon? What about the sun? What about the sun? What about the stars? Is anything bigger than God's big love? Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, wonderful love. Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, love, love, love. Is this big love big enough to handle all my doubts and worries? Is this big love big enough to help with all my fears? Yes! Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, wonderful love. Big and wonderful, big and wonderful, big and wonderful, love, love, love.
So at this point, I think our junior church are going to disappear into the hall and do something. Before they go, let's just pause and send them on their way with our love. Loving God, we thank you for the youngsters that are gathered here today. We pray that you go with them, that you be with their families, that you be with those who are instructing and guiding them. For it is in Jesus' name that they go. Amen. When I was talking about growing up and being terrified of Doctor Who, one of the things I said that made me really scared is, what if there was a Dalek on my way to school? What if there was a Cyberman hiding behind the ice cream counter in the local shop? What if? What ifs have got an awful lot of things that hold us back. What ifs are almost always negative. What if we start a study group and nobody comes? What if we organise this and it doesn't work? What if we try and do something and nobody likes it? What if? Sometimes our lives are held back by the what ifs. When I was thinking about putting this together, I came across a little poem called The What Ifs. It had been written mainly aimed at school children and all the fears that they have. What if? What if the bus is late? What if I can't swim? What if nobody likes me? What if everybody laughs at my new haircut? But I just wondered whether I could try and rearrange the what ifs for us here in this place. If you can join in with the words in red. Last night, while I lay thinking here, they pranced and parted all night long. What if my car doesn't pass its MOT? What if my smart TV starts to act daft? What if I forget to put the bins out? What if my online shopping doesn't appear? What if people laugh when I start to dance? What if I suddenly don't have enough money? What if my computer suffers a glitch? I'm not prophetic with this one. What if we struggle heating the church? What if the toddlers group ends in a mess? What if someone asks if I'd like to read? What if my best friend plans to move away? What if someone somewhere starts up a war? What if the church council goes on too long? What if a stranger comes and sits next to me? Everything seems well, and suddenly then, only this time I'm strong, I will not fear. The what ifs. I wonder if as individuals, I wonder if as a church, I wonder if as a circuit, a district, a connection, I wonder if the what ifs could be positive, could be optimistic, could be hopeful. What if we were brave? What if we took a risk? What if we made a leap of faith? What if we trusted God? What if? Can we have our second reading for today, please? Chris.
This reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and others, chapter 3, starting at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power of at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. How high, how long, how deep, how wide. What's the highest thing in Poynton? St. George's Church Tower. If we were expanding that, if we were thinking worldwide, what's the highest man-made structure? What's the highest man-made structure? Where was that coming from over there? Who's been out to Dubai? Where's that? The Khalif, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. That would be the highest, at the moment, man-made structure. What's the highest natural structure?
Everest.
That's quite an easy one for people to come to. If we thought of something that was really long, what would be really long locally? Apart from the wait at the traffic lights coming through on the way here. Channel Tunnel might be long. Longest man-made. Yeah, the Great Wall of China. The Great Wall of China is possibly the longest man-made structure we can think of. If we were thinking of something from the natural world, what might we think of as being long? Hadrian's Wall, possibly? A river. Now, are we going to have the argument as to the longest river? Hands up for the Amazon. You lot put your hands down because you're wrong. Hands up for the Nile. Yeah, we might think of something being really long, something like the River Nile. Now, this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. What can we think of that's really wide? Roger. What did you say? An ocean. So Roger's got us our starter for 10. Which one are we going for? Maybe the Pacific Ocean might be something that's really wide. Now, this was the hardest one, a man-made structure that's wide. And it's difficult to work out, is it wide or is it long? Trying to think something, a man-made structure that's wide. Maybe some bridges are quite wide. We're in the right country, Christine. We're in China. And I'm just trying to think of things that are naturally wide. Is it a building? Is it an airport? I was just coming across things like the Eye of Heaven radio telescope in China is a huge, wide, man-made structure. What have we got to go? We've done tallest, we've done longest, we've done widest. Deepest. What's the deepest thing? Please don't say my sermons. What would be the deepest natural thing? The Mariana Trench, which is situated where? The Philippines. What about the deepest man-made structure? What might that be? You would think, if we're thinking deep, you're kind of thinking underground, and maybe you're thinking a coal mine, and we're not too far away from that. You might think an oil well. Or you might just think it's something that humanity has done just to see how deep we can go. The deepest hole in the world is the Kola borehole in Russia, which hasn't been drilled for any purpose whatsoever, apart from to see how deep we can drill. They don't extract coal, they don't extract gold, they don't extract anything. And interestingly enough, it is deeper than the Mariana Trench. And maybe that was the point they were aiming for. Can we drill deeper into the Earth's surface than the deepest natural phenomenon? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep is Christ's love? Well, it's taller and wider and deeper and longer than any of the things that we have mentioned today. Deep enough to reach into the darkest places. Tall enough to extend up into the heights. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the highest heights, you are there. If I go to the deepest depths, you are there. If I go to the other side of the sea, you are there. God's love in and through Jesus, shown most clearly through his sacrifice on that cross, is taller and wider and deeper and longer and more everlasting and all-encompassing than anything we can possibly imagine or see or build. I'm going to invite you to remain seated as we sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So, having thought about how high and long and wide and deep is God's love for us, what about our discipleship? How wide, how long, How high, how deep is that? In response to all that we have received from God, how do we live out that faith? How wide? How long? How deep? How high? How narrow? How shallow? How inward looking? That is probably one of the most iconic, most recognisable maps that has ever been produced. It is, of course, a map of the London Underground, the Tube map. And I quite like that map. I like it because of its simplicity and because of its complexity. I like it because it gives you an idea how you can get from A to B, whether that be in a straight line or a circle, or intersecting with a million different other people travelling in different directions. I like the fact that you can get on and off at different stations. You can start and finish your journey in different places. You can go through all sorts of different scenarios. One of the things that I have been involved in over in the Nottingham North East Circuit for the past couple of years has been using that map. That's the map produced by the Methodist Connection. Discipleship Pathways. Looking at the kind of blankish expressions, I suspect that that isn't something you're particularly familiar with here. This is something that the Methodist Church has been promoting for the past 18 months, the past 2 years. Coming out of the Methodist way of life, service, learning, caring, worship, prayer, the Methodist Church has devised these 12 stations. Things that as individual disciples of Jesus and things that as families of faith, as churches, these are what we should be engaged in. We should be engaged in prayer, in worship, in looking for God in Scripture and the world, in caring for ourselves and for others, in learning about our faith, being generous with our hospitality, helping people, caring for creation. Somebody mentioned to me as I came in, we've just here got our Silver Eco Award, challenging injustice, speaking of God's love, living an attractive life and sharing our faith. Over in Nottingham, it's not just been a church that has got engaged with this. It's been 16 churches in the circuit who are all engaged in their own context, given their own resources, their own situation, in trying to get involved and engaged with these discipleship pathways. What the hope is that a church might be interested in one or more of these. And therefore you can get on board the discipleship pathways train at any one of these stations. But these stations are all interconnected. They all join together. They all lead to other avenues that you can explore. That's the latest map that they have come up with. And what I love about this map is that it doesn't end. There are no dead ends. There are no final destinations. You can spread out further. You can add your own discipleship pathways to this list. There are, on the Methodist Connectional website, 1 million resources for this. 1 million things to try and engage communities of faith, whether that be in prayer or in standing up against the injustices of this world, or Flourish, which is concerned with creation and care for God's world, and perhaps making this church a gold eco-church. All sorts of ways that are acting as building blocks. Building blocks for us to make our discipleship bigger and wider and deeper and taller than perhaps it currently is. God calls us to be visible in our communities, to be a presence, to be a light, to be good news. Maybe by engaging, not necessarily in all of these things, but in some of them, we can continue to grow in our faith, to grow in our witness, to grow in our service to the people who are in need, to the people who are still waiting to be made welcome, to be invited, to be included, to be part of God's kingdom here in this place. I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able as we sing. There is a wideness in God's mercy.
There's a wideness in God.
please be seated. Let's pray. Loving God, as we gather here in this place, as we think of some of the stories that have dominated our news bulletins this past week, things that have been on the television, on the radio, things that we have seen on the internet, things that have been the source of discussion and conversations that we have had with families, with friends, with strangers. We think of this, your world, and we think of all those places, all those situations, all those contexts where there is hardship, where there is distress, where there is persecution. Where there is famine. Where there is nakedness and peril and sword. We pray for a resolution to the ongoing situation in the Ukraine. We pray for those who have suffered as a result of the 3 earthquakes in Afghanistan. We pray for those places in the world that are no longer front page news, but which are in need of your grace and your love. We pray for people here in this place who are struggling at this time with the cost of living, with the prospect of having to put the heating on, to pay the bills, to have enough to feed their family. Today we especially hold in our prayers the situation in the Middle East. Some words from the President and the Vice President of the Methodist Conference. God of peace and compassion, we pray for all who are impacted by the escalating conflict in Israel and Palestine. We pray for all who are mourning. We pray for all who are fearful today, and for what may lie ahead. We pray for all who have been traumatized and re-traumatized by all that they have experienced. Help us to stand in solidarity with people of peace. And may your Spirit bring healing to your troubled world. Today we also offer a prayer of thanks for the life, for the faith, and for the witness of Hilda Sigley, a stalwart for many, many years up at Green Close. We pray that you will be with Carolyn, that you will hold her in your thoughts and prayers, that you will let her feel your love at this time as she deals with her loss. And we think of those that we know connected with this family of faith who are in need of grace, of compassion, of mercy, of comfort. Loving God, gather together all of our prayers, those that we have expressed out loud, those that we have offered to you in silence, even those things that we will only remember when sharing fellowship with each other. We offer them in the power of your Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen. Christine.
So, as many of you already know, Noreen will soon be leaving us to move to Scotland. And I would say it's not even just a near bit of Scotland, it's up to Aberdeen, which is about as far from Poynton as you could possibly get. And I would say, Noreen, there was no need to go quite so far just to avoid being asked to be a steward again. So on behalf of the church, I would like to say a very big thank you for everything you've done for the church and the community while you've lived in Poynton. And we hope you and Gordon will be very happy in your new home. Thank you.
I hope I'm not expected to say much because these are the bits I find difficult. I will miss you all so much, meeting you in the street, meeting you here in the fellowship. But I'm sure this was the right time to go when we're still fit enough to make the new connections and to be near our family. But you might see us again. We will be up and down, I'm sure. So thank you all very much for your good wishes.
Let's bring this act of worship to a close by singing once more a new song, but to a familiar tune. John.
Love is patient, kind. in believing, war will bring a terraces. Show us Jesus' way of living. May our strength be in your peace.
Go from this place out into this day, out into this community, having been the recipients of God's love. Let us go and show to others how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is for them. For it is in Jesus' name that we go.
How great it's been to have John with us. I think we're all agreed. Lunch will be served about 12 o'clock. So if you want to grab a cup of tea or coffee and come back in here or in the foyer, but if you stay out of rooms 1 and 2 and 3 just for a while we finish getting sorted out. And Julie will hate me for this, but if somebody could go and get Julie, please. Can you go and get Julie?
Just while we're waiting for Julie, the other really important thing that you have to remember is when you come up to shake my hand afterwards, please come up and say, "You won't remember me, John, but I'm..."
That'll be really helpful.
What he's trying to say is his memory's going.
Join the club.
Yes, join the club. Julie, you'll hate me for this, but we really want to say a huge, huge thank you for our lunch before we eat it. Be safe then.
I hope everything will be all right. Right, what I've done is, on the tables, we put some butter, the coleslaw, salads on the tables, so that as you get your potatoes and your filling, you can just go around. And the ladies are there now, very busy putting water and other bits and pieces on the tables, so please. You know, enjoy yourselves. We thank John for coming and seeing us. So this is the least we can do. All right? Enjoy.
Not only do we thank Julie, but we thank everybody who's provided the food. There will be some dishes around for contributions, please, if you've not brought anything. I know a lot of you haven't. We didn't ask. Okay? But we need to pay those who have. Yes, we do. We argue every time about this.
But she always wins.
So,
thank you so much. It's nice to see everybody.
It is. So grab your tea and coffee, have a good chat, shake John's hand, tell him your name, and let's have a good time.
Thank you.